He created a Senate, which was designed as the highest coordinating body. Every member of a college would sit on the Senate, plus other important officials that Peter thought would be useful in advising him. He created a new political police. Policing was something new in Russia, and then this one was particularly aimed at crushing dissent, disloyalty, revolts, criticism of the Tsar or his family, for that matter. He reorganized the map itself, the empire geographically, subdividing the whole nation into provinces and establishing provincial administrations. And he put the church, always a problem for him as you know, under state control. For one thing, he got rid of the patriarch, who, well, the patriarch died and he simply didn't reappoint him, and declared himself head of the church. And to administer the church, he appointed a head of the Holy Synod, a body to administer the church, who had to be a layperson, not a priest, not a bishop. Now, parallel to these efforts to transform society as well as the state, he also was determined to transform society. For example, he created a single, what was called, table of ranks, in which all the old nobility born of birth, all the new nobility who acquired their rank through service, was created in one single chart of what it meant to be a nobleman, and it had to be through service. And as you rose through the ranks, you could become a nobleman. Birth was no longer enough. He organized the urban population into guilds and corporations. He built factories, dug mines, established industries. He reformed the entire tax structure. It was a very chaotic tax structure before, basically based on household, which meant people could combine households and get out of paying taxes. He said every individual, the most rational method, every individual had to pay a tax, what was called the soul tax. And he stimulated a Western intellectual life, especially among the elite. Again, very active, transforming everything. Just as he changed the map of Russia, he changed time, just like he changed space, creating a new calendar so that Russians would now start counting years, not as they used to from the beginning of the world, but from the birth of Christ, just as the way Western Europe did. And the year would begin in January, not as it used to begin in September. He rewrote the alphabet. The old Slavonic alphabet wasn't useful for modern techniques, for modern activities. He created, with his own hand, a new secular alphabet. He established printing presses to create books for learning, for information, especially on technical matters. He promoted schools. He established the Academy of Sciences. He established the first universities. Now, when historians try to make sense of all this, certain arguments stand out. First is what might be called one of the leitmotifs of Russian history, what one historian has called the civilizing role of force exerted from above, civilizing force from above. And indeed, Peter, like many before him, believed in the essential connection between power and progress. But this raises the question of what was his vision of progress, what sort of civilization did he want to bring to Russia? In part, as you probably can already see, this was a technical notion of what civilization meant, rationalization, regularization of laws and government institutions, of society, functionally clear administrative units, technologies to make a modern economy. And in fact, in many ways, all of this was very much in the Russian tradition. Peter believed in his all-powerful might as ruler, his role as Grozny, as awesome, mighty Tsar. And one can see this in his preoccupation, for example, with things military. And indeed, Peter was often compared to the most military of all the gods, when he was compared to a god, to Mars. One of his closest friends had a big palace built and painted a picture of Peter as Mars on the ceiling of the entryway. And one sees other policies similarly in this old authoritarian tradition, nobles forced to serve the state, serfdom intensified, taxation to make sure everybody paid, even a succession law that gave, for the first time, absolute power to the Tsar to appoint whoever he wanted, to choose whoever made the most sense as the next ruler, not leave it to the fate of birth. Still, there's something more than this going on. Despite all of his authoritarianism, despite all of his really persistent personal crudity, despite the fact that he seemed mostly interested in the West for its technical accomplishments. Still, Westernization meant more, in Peter's mind, than just this. He wanted Russia to become, as he would have called it, civilized.